And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you all, choir. Have you ever joined a group or a club without really understanding the expectations or the commitment level that would be required? Welcome to the Garden Club here. We have just, for those that are first-time new members, you get the privilege of setting up for each of our meetings, and that also would include cleaning everything up, putting the tables and chairs back up, and you get to bring the snacks for the meetings. Did we mention we love chocolate, and we believe in getting your hands dirty, literally, so you get to come weed all of our flower gardens for us. And we meet every night. That would not be a club that you would want to go. A lot of commitment would be required. You really should know ahead of time what you're signing up for. Anybody ever been called by someone on the nominating committee and say, hey, would you be willing to serve on House and Grounds? Would you be willing to be chair of House and Grounds? There's no work involved in that. It's real easy. As y'all know, if you've ever served on House and Grounds or been chair, there's a lot of work that's required. It is a lot of commitment, but as you can imagine, it is a huge facility. There's always a lot going on, and it's just a wonderful ministry that folks are able to go and take part of and just to keep this facility looking nice as we're able to. But you want to consider the commitment level. Jesus, in our story today, he's warning would-be disciples the cost of following him. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We'll be looking in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, or you can follow along on the screen up here, verses 25 through 35. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here in the story, Jesus, he's talking to a large crowd, and he tells them, I've got a small ask, just a small price for you to pay if you're considering to be my disciple. First, just hate your mother and father. We've got some teenagers saying, I've got that covered. Check me. Then, carry your own cross. It's probably a light cross made out of pine or just plastic. It's not that bad. And then the last one is the least ask of all. It is I'm getting some static here. Promise is a new battery. Can y'all hear me all right? The last one, he said, just give up everything. It's not a small ask that Jesus is putting forth to those would-be disciples, but it's a lot he's asking. He, in fact, is asking for everything. So in looking at the story, Jesus, he puts out three conditions for those to consider about following him, about being a disciple. With your family, carrying your cross, and then giving up everything. And so first, disciples hate their family. In verse 26, specifically, Jesus says that you need to hate your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, even your granny. That doesn't really sound like Jesus, one who encourages us to love others, to be telling us that we need to hate our family in order to be a disciple here. But first of all, this is an example of hyperbole, It's an exaggeration. It's the Greek word that's used for hate, meseo. It does not necessarily mean anger or hostility, but he's talking about if there comes a situation between you and your family and your faith, you need to put your faith first. Second, this was a model after the early disciples. When Jesus called them to come follow him, they were required to leave their families and to go out and to follow Jesus. Some of those early Christians, even in the church in Corinth, had their spouses that were divorcing them because they didn't like it that they had become followers of Jesus. If you're going to be my spouse, then you cannot follow Christ. Just to illustrate some of the ties and pulls we have on our family relationships and other relationships, back in the day in some of the years of youth ministry, sometimes teenagers would come to you, and we all know this, the pull that their peers have on them, the strong influence that peers have against them. And so you always caution the teenagers, and I would encourage the youth to find friends that are strong in their faith, especially if you're going to date someone. And so every now and then a youth would say, I want to go out, I'm dating so-and-so. I say, well, are they a good Christian? Sounds like what my grandma would say to you. Well, they don't go to church, and so I'm going to start inviting them to the youth group, and I'm going to witness to them and make them be a good Christian. And that's great. And a lot of us are here today from the influence of boyfriends or girlfriends, of spouse, and that can be good and encouraging. But I'd always reshare the illustration. You've probably seen it before. I thought about asking Carson to come up here. We're not going to do it. But you put a kid up on a chair, and you put someone down here, and you have the kid try to pull that person up. You're trying to pull them up to your level of faith to be a Christian. It's harder to do that, and it's easier to pull someone down to where you are. Again, to illustrate just the strong pulls that our relationships have. And so what Jesus is saying here to those would-be disciples is sometimes your family relationships can pull strong against you. There was a man one time who was just struggling about giving his life to Christ. Because as a husband and as a father, he knew it was his job to provide for his family, to provide for his spouse. And so he couldn't just turn them over. He's like, God, I've got to provide for them. I've got to take care of them. And he struggled, and he finally prayed, and he said, here, God, I give you my family. And God in turn says, thank you. Now I'm giving them back to you and asking if you would care for them for me and take care of them. It's not necessarily hating our family, but more it's just understanding about putting God first and foremost in our lives. The second condition that Jesus puts out for those would-be disciples is you have to carry your cross in order to follow me. What does it mean to carry your cross? We have that illustration. The image comes to our mind of Jesus carrying his cross to crucifixion, a picture of his rejection in Jerusalem, his suffering on the cross, and his ultimate sacrifice of his death. Some would say that cross-bearing is having to bear some type of physical pain or illness that you suffer with, or we bear our cross when we have a difficult relationship that we're in. But really, carrying your cross, bearing your cross, is our choice of what we do each day as a result of our commitment to Jesus. Today begins our first Sunday of a fall sermon series about what disciples do. You'll notice in your worship program, it's not what disciples believe. Believe is crossed off, but it's what disciples do. Jesus was more interested in what his disciples did and what it takes to follow him to answer that call than what they believed in. But a lot of times we equate our faith is just checking off a list of things that we believe. These are our beliefs, so that makes us a Christian. But what Jesus was more concerned with is what you do then with your faith. And so carrying your cross is what you do each day. Each day you choose to make sacrifices. By following Christ, it exposes us to risk. It's not going to always be something easy for us to do in our lives. And it may require us to make sacrifices as well. Jesus is challenging those would-be disciples to consider carrying their cross and what it would take. Then we have the third condition to be a disciple of Christ, to give up everything. Jesus, he follows this condition by telling two parables, fools at work and war. These are twin parables. They are unique to Luke's gospel, and they share the truths that a smart person would sit down and figure out the cost of what it would take to finish a project. A king wouldn't go to war unless he knew he had enough soldiers to fight and hopefully win that war. Likewise, God would not begin the redemption process for his people without having a plan. Jesus would not have set foot in Jerusalem unless he was willing to sacrifice his life a part of that plan. So what he's doing, he's telling his disciples, those who want to be his disciples, that in order to follow me, you must be willing to sacrifice everything. There's some churches that are out there, and there's some preachers that present the gospel as though they were selling a used car. In order to be a Christian, everything in your life is going to be easy. There's really no commitment required at all. But Jesus is cautioning those ahead of time. He's pointing out the commitment that needs to be there. Now, if we took all these three conditions about putting our faith ahead of our family and those strong pulls that we have, making sacrifices each day in our life, carrying our own cross, and giving up everything, if these were the conditions that we had to sign up before we ever became Christians, none of us could be a Christian because none of us are perfect. We all struggle with these each day, but it's that commitment that God's looking for, that willingness for us to try that he wants to see in our lives. The cost of discipleship is paid in many different forms of currency. Sometimes it may require us to redirect our priorities, to change some of our relationships, maybe even change our vocation or our commitment with our financial resources. But everyone is called to be a disciple by giving up everything. And no part-time disciples are needed. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your redemptive plan that you put in place through sending Jesus to Jerusalem to sacrifice his life on the cross for our sins, for our mistakes. We thank you, God, that we have an example to follow. And so as we strive to live out our lives like Jesus, God, I pray you will help us to put our faith into action. Help us to not focus on what we believe, but what is more important, what we do with our faith. God, we know we're not perfect. We fall short of your glory so many different ways. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for giving us the strength. We pray, God, that you will empower us, that you will call us. God, I pray specifically for each person in here today, that you place a specific call on their lives today, this week, of one way they can live out their faith for you. Whether it's conversations with coworkers, whether it's just visiting someone they need, whether it's considering a different call you've placed on their life, God, I just pray you'll speak to each person today. May we have open ears and open hearts. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.